But I want to look at some things today found in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. When we look around at our world nowadays, we see a lot of dissatisfaction, don't we? I mean, we see a lot of dissatisfaction. In fact, one retailer, I believe, has the slogan, over 1 million satisfied customers. Really? I'd like to meet one, you know, because most everybody's got something that they are dissatisfied with a retailer. Many of us, we're, you know, our whole country seems to be in a state of dissatisfaction. We're not satisfied with the president. It doesn't matter what letter that he has over top of his next to his name. It could be an R or D or an I, but there's a great sense of dissatisfaction. In fact, half, just under half of folks are not satisfied with the president. And we are living in a world in which more and more people are dissatisfied with the gender that they received when God created them. And that's a sad thing. That's a very sad thing. And there are many other areas of life in which people are dissatisfied. They look all over the place. So we need to ask a question, is why is that? Why are people so dissatisfied? Spiritually, we find people will look into all kinds of religions, philosophies, or whatever's out there, because people are dissatisfied in the soul. People are dissatisfied in their very depths of being. So they're trying to satisfy a longing that's in the soul. So I said earlier, I want you to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6. That help? John chapter 6 is an amazing chapter. It's an amazing chapter. You have two miracles and then a long conversation between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. And of all the miracles that Jesus did, and he did a lot of them, in fact, John 21:25 says that there were so many that the world could not contain the records of all of them. But of all the miracles that Jesus did, only two of them are recorded in all four of the Gospels. The first one is the resurrection of Christ is recorded in all four Gospels. And then the second miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels is the feeding of the 5,000. And I find it interesting that we say it like that. Well, you know, the feeding of the 5,000. But we're giving a lot more specifics in John chapter 6 and verse 10. Verse 9 says, there's a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are these for so many people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So it would be more accurate and more precise to say that this miracle was not just the feeding of 5,000, but it was 5,000 men on top of their wives, kids, whoever else might have been there. So there was way more than 5,000. But this miracle is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And it's this particular miracle that prompts this rather lengthy conversation about bread. So I want to look at this passage in three different areas. First off, we see an identity crisis in verses 30 and 32. Then there's an identity revealed in verse 35. And then there's an invitation that's given, verses 44 through 59. So let's begin here in this passage in verse 30. Let's begin at verse 26 here. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore, they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Verse 30. So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." So I find it interesting that these religious leaders, they're asking Jesus, what have you done to prove that you say who you are? Now, he's just got done feeding over 5,000 people out of five loaves and two fish. And we find here that the Jewish leaders, they were comparing Moses with Jesus, and in their mind, Jesus was on the short end. Jesus went on the short end. And they were attributing the feeding of the whole nation back in the wilderness to Moses. Okay, remember the exalted position that Moses has in the Jewish mind, especially in those days. And so they were giving all the credit to Moses, and Jesus says, in essence, not so fast, not so fast. That manna, which is also known as, what is it? Because he didn't know what it was. That manna that the children of Israel ate was provided by the Father in heaven, not Moses. And the Jewish leaders are basically asking Jesus, what have you done for us compared to Moses? Again, even though they had either heard about or had just finished participating in the latest miracle that Jesus had done, and that was the feeding of the 5,000. So we have here an identity crisis. They're trying to figure out who Jesus is, and they wanted some proof of who he is. And Jesus says in verse 32, as we looked at, "It's my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven." Verse 33, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven." You know, something interesting, we won't do this here today for sake of time, but if you want to have a little Bible study on your own, a little devotional on your own, take a look at three phrases that occur over and over and over again in this chapter. One phrase that occurs over and over again is eternal life. Eternal life occurs. Another phrase is the bread of life. And then a third phrase that constantly occurs in here is comes down out of heaven. So, you know, I'm a big one. If you've been in my classes or Bible studies, take a pencil, circle them, take a highlighter, highlight those. But good little homework assignment. But we find here that we had this identity crisis, and now we have the identity revealed. The identity revealed, and beginning of verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Now, this phrase, "I am the bread of life," is the first of seven "I am" statements in the Gospel of John. And we know many of them just off the top of our heads. You know, "I am the bread of life," "I am the light of the world," and, you know, so on. "I am the resurrection and the life." But this is the first in John's Gospel. And he identifies himself as God in human flesh. When he uses the phrase, "I am," he's pointing back to Exodus chapter 3, when Moses appeared before the burning bush, and he's talking to God, and Moses says, "Who shall I say that you are?" And God says, "Tell them I am sent you." And he uses the ego, eimi, in the Greek, to identify himself as deity. Now, back in the old days, back in the days of the wanderings in the wilderness, the nation had to go out every day, to gather the manna that was needed, and it was needed for daily nourishment. And manna was a type or a picture of Jesus, the true bread, who was coming from heaven. Now, five times in this chapter, Jesus says that he came down out of heaven. I want you to follow me here a little bit. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven." Verse 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Verse 50, "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die." Look at verse 58. "This is the bread which came down out of heaven." So we have five times that I counted in this chapter the phrase "come down out of heaven." And verse 58, where it says, "This is the bread," that's nine times I counted. Nine times where that the phrase "bread" is used. So again, just one of those phrases that I want you to be aware of as we look at this. And you know, the thing about manna in the during the days of the wanderings, the manna only provided nourishment. It provided nourishment. While Jesus says, "I'm here to provide life itself, not merely nourishment." Next section I want us to look at briefly is the invitation is given. We've had the identity crisis. We've had the identity revealed where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the true bread that comes down out of heaven." Then we have the invitation that's given. You know, Jesus referred to himself as bread because bread is the stuff of life. I mean, we even hear people talk about, well, you know, we'll feed them bread and water type of thing. And bread is a necessity that we find, a necessity around the world. And bread is acceptable and accepted by all, rich and poor. Doesn't matter what level of the social spectrum you're on. Most people like bread and need bread. And I want you to notice those five times I pointed those out to you about the bread came down out of heaven. And the principle here that I want you to see is that the bread of life came down out of heaven, and it had to come down out of heaven because we can't lift ourselves up. We cannot lift ourselves up. So just as we receive bread into our bodies in order to sustain life, receiving Jesus into your heart by faith gives you an eternal life. And as we come to the Lord's table, we need to keep that in mind. Jesus refers to his body as bread given on our behalf. It's bread that's given on our behalf. And so even Jesus coming down out of heaven, folks, again, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. The manna, all about grace. And it all comes from God the Father. It all comes from heaven. We don't receive communion in order to get saved, but we receive communion because we are saved. And as Christians, as we come to this table, as Christians we commemorate, we celebrate the bread of life coming from heaven after receiving him by faith. And just as we receive bread into our bodies to sustain life, receiving Jesus into your heart by faith gives you eternal life. And I want you to think about this. As we come to the Lord's table, Jesus refers to his body given on our behalf. Given on our behalf. And again, we don't receive communion in order to get saved, as some religions teach, but rather we receive communion because we are saved. Because we are saved. Let's look at verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And it goes on, verse 47, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven. Verse 52, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. And so Jesus is saying, you know, when you take me into your heart and in your life through confessing your sin, that I become your life. I give you life, not just nourishment, although that's part of it. But he says, I give you eternal life. Verse 58 says, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. So again, as Christians, we commemorate, we celebrate the bread of life, and by receiving Jesus Christ by faith, we can finally have that satisfaction in our souls that we were so desperately looking for. And so if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're able to receive Christ into your life even before the communion service. We'd like to talk to you and teach you what all that means. But Jesus Christ is saying that he is the one who came down out of heaven, and he's the only one who can satisfy. He is the only bread that satisfies. So if we were to title this sermon, we would just say, the bread that satisfies. And how many of y'all know that we're going to have, you know, most of us are going to have lunch later and might have a sandwich, might have, you know, dinner with maybe dinner rolls or whatever like that. And then later on this evening, we get hungry again, right? Because we're not satisfied after a while. Well, here's the great thing about Jesus Christ being the bread from heaven is that he always, always satisfies. If you have your Bibles open, I would like you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 9. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. And so this is what Jesus Christ came to do. The old hymn is right. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. The communion table, again, is where we as believers, we celebrate, we thank God for our Savior, the bread of life, the true bread, the living bread, that came down out of heaven and then was broken on the cross on our behalf. And the great thing about that is he didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the dead. And we look forward to the day when he's returning. And that's what we celebrate here. This is a memorial to our living, loving, powerful Savior who is going to return another day to take us to his home.